Because you have made Yahweh, my refuge, the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil befalls you, and a plague does not come near your tent.
Shalom, and welcome to His Word Heals. This program is focused weekly on living and praying in agreement with Yahweh's Word. If this is your first time tuning in and you would like to hear more, please visit our website at www.hiswordheals.com. Today I have a special guest with me, my friend Susan Hoogie. And she has lived a lifestyle outlined in the Torah with her mother and brother since she was 4 years old. What a blessing. 6 decades later, she continues to live this amazing lifestyle while enjoying the constant opportunities to develop as a child of the Most High, all through life experiences and one-on-one study with Hashem. Susan has been a radio personality on the Messianic Lamb Radio since its beginning in 2011. Though now retired, but continues serving Lamb Radio behind the scenes in many other capacities. Susan and her husband Rod live in Canada with their son and daughter, who are also two amazing people. And I met Susan. We were prayer partners. I was her co-host on the Morning War Room prayers on Messianic Lamb Radio. And unfortunately, I didn't get to do that too long with her, but the time that I spent with her doing that was such a blessing. So, Susan, how are you today?
I am highly favored of the Lord and feel very blessed to be here with you again, Dawn. It's been a while since I retired. You know, it's been a month or two, and it's good to just be connecting with you again in like manner as what we've been doing for the past while. So I'm loving this, really loving this.
Yes, I've been looking forward to this interview as well, just to be able to catch up with you. One thing that was really amazing that I found when I first started praying with you on War Room prayers was that we really were like-minded in how to pray for people, basically. And so maybe you would like to explain your philosophy on prayers and how we should enter into prayer and words that we maybe should or shouldn't use in prayer.
Well, there's not really much of a philosophy I have, other than I look upon my time in prayer as being a time when I'm talking with my Father. You know, Yeshua explained that to us. He taught us that. He said, this is how you should talk to the Father. You know, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and on it goes. And Yeshua came, his ministry on this earth, of course, was to reveal the good news. And part of that good news was to reveal the Father, that, you know, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. And just to let us know, hey, you know, there's the Father, yet I'm the Son, and there is also the Father. So when I'm talking and in prayer, lots of times I don't use, you know, I use the word prayer, of course, but in many cases, I like to refer to it more as I'm sitting down and I'm talking with my Father. That's how I approach prayer, is as though I am talking to an individual, though yet at the same time, I understand the position, you know, my Father in heaven has. He is the King of the universe, and he is ruling the universe and the heavens and all that is in it. And thus, having that kind of power and status and who he is, I also like to maintain and offer a certain amount of reverence to him for who he is. You know, my Father, but he's also the King.
Okay, and what I was kind of referring to was our War Room prayers, which for those that are listening on Hebrew Nation Radio, because this is broadcast on Messianic Lamb Radio and Hebrew Nation, maybe are not familiar with War Room prayers. And mostly what we pray there is for healing for those in need, and we praise our Abba for those that have been healed and for other praise answered prayers. So I guess not necessarily philosophy, but how we pray for healing and how we pray for those that are in need of healing, basically what we say and what we don't say is what I was referring to. I'm sorry for that misunderstanding, but that was still a very good introduction to prayer.
Yeah, basically War Room prayers on Lamb Radio was set up. It was something that was set up 9 years ago, And the point of War Room prayers was to bring everyone together as to perform corporate prayer for individuals in need. And it began on a platform called Pal Talk, and then we transitioned over to the format we currently have right now, which is where you can submit your prayer requests on a link on LAM Radio. And this link then goes on to a prayer list that is available for viewing by any and all of our listeners and any and all people all over the world. And so that it enables even more of the corporate entity of the nation of Israel to gather together and to pray one for another, just as Yeshua has been telling us to do so.
Right. And a lot of times we may get people who say, I have cancer, can you pray for me? Our philosophy, I guess, that we both believe it, that wording is incorrect. Would you like to explain that?
Yeah, that's a good point there, Dawn, that you're bringing up. This was something years and years ago that I learned from a very dear friend of mine who is still part of War Room Prayers. His name is Dr. Scotty Thomas, and it was basically from him that I learned this very, very powerful principle, that if we say things like, okay, I'll just backtrack a moment here. If you go on to the LAM Radio's the prayer list for War Room Prayers, and you can find that link at LAM Radio if you want. You will notice that on the prayer list, there is never any indicator, there's never any word that is used where it says, please pray for so-and-so who has cancer or who has this illness or disease or whatever. We will edit out the word has, because that's a possession. And we do not want to provide a curse upon any individual by saying so-and-so has cancer, or, you know, what you can put in whatever illness or disease in there, or trouble or trial. We do not want to bring a curse upon anyone by saying that, because then we are cursing them with possession of that trial or that disease or that illness. So what we will change it to is whatever else that we need to. So, like, you know, we can say so-and-so is fighting cancer, or so-and-so is enduring an illness, or, you know, it's just a matter of restructuring the sentence so that we are not cursing our brothers and our sisters. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that point out, Dawn. I haven't even thought about that point for so long. It just has become so natural for me not to use the words have or has, or Johnny's got cancer. Even that is a possessive format, and we need to be very careful not to use that.
That is one of the reasons that I really felt comfortable praying with you, was because that was the same message. I mean, it was a confirmation, a witness to the message that I received from Father as well when I was dealing with basal cell carcinoma. One day I said something to the effect that, well, he didn't have cancer. And my father told me, you don't have cancer. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the enemy. You don't belong to the enemy. You belong to me. You don't have cancer. It's not yours. And so ever since then, I've realized, you know, even if somebody is dealing with something, it is a trial, like you said. It is not something that they own that belongs to them, especially if they belong to our Heavenly Father. If they are one of His children, these diseases aren't a part of them. You know, Yeshua took all of our diseases and our sicknesses upon Himself. We might be dealing with something temporarily or going through a trial for whatever reason, but like you said, we don't own them. We don't want to own them. We don't want to claim them. It's just something that you naturally say, I've been diagnosed with. I don't even like that, not being diagnosed with. Mm-hmm, that's saying that you have something, it's with you. Well, it's not. And so I just think that's such an important point that I wanted to bring out in this interview as well, since you and I were on the same page with that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, Dawn. And you brought out a very good point when you were mentioning there that we are, you know, who we are. We are the children of God. And okay, I'm just going to use this as the example because we've been going through this so recently, just in the past year, in regards to the Torah portions, where Aaron is learning how to function within the tabernacle, Aaron and his sons. And there has to be this level of cleanliness. There has to be this level of purity and truth and everything like this. The reason being for that is because they are actually going to be in the presence of God. And God cannot live in the same area as any kind of decomposition or any kind of illness or anything going on. That's a whole nother teaching, mind you. But that is the reason, one of the reasons why as well, that we don't say so-and-so has cancer or whatnot, is for that point that you brought out, that we are the children of God. We are his sons and his daughters, and our eventual future is to be the bride of Yeshua. So there cannot be any of that kind of decomposition or illness or any kind of factor such as that in the family of God. You know, we have to be mindful of what we're saying so that we don't say these kinds of things. We must not say that because we're separating people. We're separating the family. We're dividing the family by bringing on this type of a curse. So we've got to speak in a way that promotes purity and cleanliness so that we can remain connected and living with our Father. And this is one way. Do not speak with a possession towards something that is of a trial or a disease or an illness. It's not something we own. It's something we are battling with, and it can and will be defeated.
We fight not against flesh and blood. It is a spiritual battle. Most of the battle, I believe, mm-hmm. against any illness is a spiritual battle, a battle of the mind, a battle of the spirit. We fight not against flesh and blood, and words are very powerful. We don't even really comprehend that our words, once spoken, they exist somewhere forever, I believe. I mean, they're all written yes. down in the books. Everything that we say, we're going to give an account for, it says. Any idle word that we speak, our words live on. And so especially when we're praying over someone who is dealing with an illness, our words are very important, not only because we're speaking them, but also because the person being prayed for is hearing them. And it's all a spiritual battle.
You know, Moses understood the power of words, because in Deuteronomy chapter 4, as well as in Deuteronomy 30, he used the term. He says, I call heaven and earth to witness. And he says it again, I call heaven and earth to record. And then he keeps on going. And what is it that they are recording? What is heaven and earth recording? They're recording the words. Words are powerful. And so, you know, we have this confirmation even just with Moses, as he's saying, I call heaven and earth to witness. So guess what? Every word we say is something that is being recorded and witnessed in heaven and on earth right at this moment. So, you know, everything we've said, it's here. On the TV today, I was watching one of these old shows. There's a TV channel here called MeTV, and it's got all the old shows from the 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, all these old shows that we grew up with. And but there was this one episode I was watching today, and you know, this something was going wrong for this one person, and you know, in the show and whatnot, he was being accused by somebody else. And so the guy being accused, he turns and he says, I'm going to kill you, you know, like this, you know, not meaning literally, but you know, just speaking that out. And that is something I know a lot of people in the world do today. They're not meaning that they're going to literally go out and kill somebody, but they're using that term, I'm going to kill you. And in some way, somehow, there is a diminishing that takes place in that person's life from that point forward. This is why it's so important. When Moses said, I call heaven and earth to witness, we had better be extremely careful that we don't use these phrases, you know, even phrases like, oh my God, and things like that. These are all phrases that if you don't have a full relationship with God and you say, oh my God, sort of as a generic, like, way of saying, wow, that's amazing. you are diminishing God at that moment. And that is being witnessed by heaven and earth as well. So, Don, you know, when you and I were together praying as a team, and whatnot, it was very powerful how, you know, you and I were very careful with each and every prayer request that came in. And even with the praise reports, we were very careful with both of them to make sure that the words we were speaking, because we're talking to God, we are having a conversation with him, that we are speaking in a way that was uplifting and that it's being recorded by heaven and earth. And when it's played back for us, we're going to be okay with what we've recorded, with what we're hearing. You know, it's going to be like, hey, yeah, that was actually pretty good.
Well, we pray so. I pray so. Absolutely. Well, I should probably really quick finish my story about when I received that message from my father that said that you don't have cancer, it doesn't belong to you. A week later, I had been scheduled for my second biopsy, and the first one had unclean edges, and supposedly the cancer cells were spread beyond what had been cut out before. And when I got that message from Father, I told my husband what I heard from him. And when I went and got the biopsy, it came back completely clean. There was absolutely no cancer cells left whatsoever. Mm-hmm. It was gone. It was completely healed. There was only scar tissue. And so when we hear from our Father, whether it be through his word, which I believe that was tied in with his word, but also through that still small voice, and we claim it and we repeat it back to someone else and we believe it, I believe he is very faithful, that just from my experience, he is faithful in that. I was like, he really did talk to me. I really did hear from him. It really is gone. You know, I really don't have it. It doesn't belong to me. And I even, a couple months later, because the area was still itchy and it was still painful and all of that, I even went back just to make sure, you know, right? And it was still completely clean, you know? And so he is so faithful. He is awesome. He is able to heal us. I believe that any sicknesses that we may face would be a trial for a time. Maybe something that he needs to teach us. We need to ask him, Father, why? What do you want me to learn from this? What am I going through this for? You know, but just realize that it doesn't belong to us at all.
You know, that's another point that was brought forward in the years that I worked with Dr. Scotty Thomas. And it was the whole study on the book of Job. How here was a man who was very exceptionally wealthy and very highly regarded within the community where he was living. And even God highly regarded him, mentioning that in the very first chapter. And who's God talking to? God's talking to Hasatan. And, you know, so here's Hasatan saying, well, here, you know, I'm going to take him down a peg or two. And of course, God says, okay, but you know, I give you my authority that you can do that, but you are not to kill him. And so here's Hasatan doing all that he can do, you know, wiping out his family, his flocks, his livelihood, everything. All that's left is Job and his wife. And then, of course, he gets stricken with all those boils. And, you know, can you just imagine the pain this guy must have been in with boils covering pretty much all of his body? And he endures that. Of course, there's many studies out for now trying to explain how long he endured that. Some say 3 years, some say 1 year, some say different and whatnot. But hey, when you're dealing with a boil, even 1 day is a long time. So, you know, here's this guy, Job, dealing with all of this, dealing with the three friends of his who are telling him to give it all up. And in the end, the last three or four chapters of Job, it's God talking to Job. God saying, hey, where were you, Job, when I did this? And here's God listing off all the things that he did, all the things that he created on the earth. He explained to Job the wonders that he, God, can do and does do. And when Job finally realized that, when he realized the awesomeness and the amazing beauty and the amazing aspects that God created. And the reason why God created everything, Job was restored. His health was restored. His family was grew again, and his wealth increased more so than it did prior to all of this stuff happening. So the point for Job was this, that he was learning another level of his relationship with God. And many times that's what all these trials and illnesses and diseases are all about, is so that we have and can step into another, even closer level of relationship with God. And sometimes it just takes a long time to get to that step, maybe due to our hard-heartedness or hard-headedness. Or, you know, it's just that sometimes the learning process must be done slowly in order for clarity. Don, I'm just going to quickly mention here, there was a documentary I was watching where it was talking about how ice freezes. And this is kind of related to learning how to have a relationship with God, because we want to do so with clarity and with understanding. If water freezes quickly, all the impurities within the water remain exactly where they are, and so do the oxygen bubbles. And that's why you have very murky, cloudy ice for the most part, like even, you know, the ice cubes in the fridge. Now, this documentary explained that there is a lake up in Siberia, or is over in Eastern Europe somewhere, where some hikers came across it, and it's a very deep lake. But the lake, when they stepped on it, it looked as though they were literally walking on air. The reason being is because the lake had frozen in such a way that the ice was absolutely clear, and you could see all the way down to the bottom. And how this happened was because the ice took a long time to freeze. So that way, you know, that the top layer of the water, it froze, but the bottom half of the water did not freeze right away. And so that allowed for all the sediment and all the oxygen and everything to dissipate. So that's what allowed the water to freeze so clearly. And sometimes that may be what's going on with people with long-term illnesses, diseases, or trials, is that they are now, you know, through this long-termness, what's happening is all this sediment in their lives, all the gunk in their lives, all of the excess gases and everything are dissipating, so that now they're going to have this absolute clarity in regards to, you know, God's word and having a relationship with him. Notice how I am using that word have when it comes to stuff like this, you know, but to me, that's how I look at long-term trials. To us, it may come across as though we're not receiving an answer from God, but I look at a trial like that, that what's happening here is clarity, and which is allowing for a stronger relationship.
That is a really good analogy. Back to Job real quick, just to tie this up, because I do want to go to your counting of the Omer season of healing email that you sent to me. But just to close this out, I believe Job could have cursed God and went ahead and died or killed himself. But the enemy was not allowed, as you pointed out, the enemy was not allowed to kill Job, but he could try and convince Job to do it himself, or to just give up, or, you know, to believe that God didn't love him or something like that. So that's what the enemy tries to do. He tries to convince us that we're not worthy. He tries to convince us that God doesn't want to heal us, that God wants us sick for some reason or other, that Yeshua wasn't enough, that he didn't take on all of our sicknesses and diseases. He tries to convince us to listen to doctors who are proclaiming sickness and disease over us, that the doctors proclaim it over people as if they are prophets. A lot of times forcing ownership onto the person, basically saying you need to deal with reality. Now you need to do what we say you need to do in order to be healed. So basically we need to decide who do we believe and who do we listen to. And then all of our words and our behaviors and our attitude need to match who we actually believe and who we listen to. So I just wanted to sum that up, because that's, you know, that's another part of the spiritual aspect of the battle against disease and sickness. But I really do.
Right on.
I really do want to go into your counting of the Omer season of healing study that you did.
We will have to continue our interview with Susan Hoogie next week. Please visit our website at www.hiswordheals.com for the full interview. Blessings and shalom to all of you and everyone in your home.
And to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving commitment in the morning and your trustworthiness each night on 10 strings and with